Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, we've all heard about people working on projects or inventions in their garage. This week, we're going to talk about a new product that was developed as a result of working in a commercial garage.
The InterpreType Deafblind Communication System enables deafblind Braille users to communicate in a variety of situations, including telephone communications, texting, instant messaging, the internet, VRS, and of course, face-to-face conversations. We'll speak with its inventor, Ken Gann, and his assistant, Josh Brewer, about this portable yet powerful tool. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Ken Gann, whom we met in person for this interview in his InterpreType office upstairs from his auto repair shop.
So I'm kind of curious how you got involved in this. This is basically an auto mechanics shop. You know, I think of people of taking apart engines and not necessarily having all the tools and, you know, background to be able to do software development, put, you know, electronics together. How did this all come about?
Well, my background is accounting. That was my major in college.
That doesn't explain it either.
That's true. This was our family business. It's a fairly good-sized auto repair shop, so I usually do a lot of the work behind the scenes. And my passion is customer service. I mean, when you pick up your car after a collision job, you will not find a crumb on the carpet or a fingerprint on the glass, and you'll find a live carnation on the seat. And we deliver every car that way. There are fresh rolled towels in our bathroom. We have refreshments downstairs, coffee and candy, and we have a shuttle service that runs all the time. So I just love customer service and wowing my customers. Originally in 93, my staff came to me and said, Ken, we got to buy a TTY because we can't communicate with our deaf customers very well. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And they said, but Ken, you love customer service. Why wouldn't you do that? I said, because what are you going to do when they get here? You're just going to stumble unless you know sign language or you know sign language or we have an interpreter on hand. You're not going to be able to communicate it. And I want to deliver this exceptional customer service experience. So if you invite a group of people in here that we can't communicate with, we're just going to be set for failure. So I tabled that idea until in 2002, my staff came to me and said, we need a better way to communicate with them over the counter. I hadn't thought it through until then when I said, well, this is not rocket science. We should be able to develop software. So I have a friend that had a computer company, and I used to be in a Unix users group with a guy who's a genius programmer. And between the two of them, we found hardware, and this developer was able to write the software to get it to work. And we tested it, and it worked great, and nothing else was out there. So we launched it, and that's how we did it. It's all for customer service.
So the bottom line is, if you see a problem, look for a way to fix it. Communicating with deafblind individuals has been a problem for many, many years, but in more recent years, technology has come along that's made this a lot easier. And the Perkins School has written a very nice review of the history of deafblind communication in general that you might want to read, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes for this show on our website. But let's start this show by meeting Ken and Josh and learning about the origin and evolution of InterpreType.
My name is Ken Gann, and I'm president of InterpreType.
I'm Josh Brewer. I work in the office here and be kind of behind the scenes of InterpreType.
Can you tell us how you started InterpreType and its later development?
Sure, be happy to. InterpreType is a product I invented back in 2003 as a customer service tool to help my staff at my auto repair shop communicate better with our deaf and hard of hearing customers.
Now, we should point out, we're in Rochester, New York, and in particular, we're really close to the Rochester Institute of Technology and the National Technical Institute for the Deaf, so there's a much larger than typical deaf population in this area.
Correct. Rochester has the largest per capita population of deaf individuals of any city in the world. Not number of deaf, but per capita. So, yeah, at this auto repair shop, since we are close to NTID, we would see deaf customers on a pretty regular basis, maybe a couple, three a week. So I decided to come up with a product that allows you to text back and forth, kind of like face-to-face instant messaging. And That product was launched in 2003 here at the shop, and it went over very, very well. And within a couple months, we sold to our first customer, JetBlue, and it began to evolve from there. It was a pair of DOS keyboards that would type back and forth to each other with a cable. And that worked well for a while, and then we migrated over to Windows systems so that our product would communicate with Windows and so that we could add language translation. So we began and added Spanish. Translation was the first one that a lot of the federal agencies wanted.
So one person can be typing in Spanish and the other person typing in English or speaking in English?
It's all done through text, through typing. Then those DOS terminals started to become unavailable around 07, right around the time these little netbooks started coming out. And the price dropped on these laptops a great deal, and we decided, since we already had a Windows-based product also, to come out with our second generation, which is all based on these netbook or small laptop computers. Then we were able to add French translation as well. So now you have a choice of translating from English to Spanish or English to French. And because they can connect to the internet and have cameras and can use Skype, we also added video phone software so that deaf customers that use this can actually place phone calls, not just type back and forth face-to-face, but they can actually place phone calls to anyone deaf or hearing in the United States using the video relay service, VRS. Or they could do VRI, which is video remote interpreting, same way, connect to a remote interpreter and use the cameras to do video interpreting as well.
Let me understand what you're talking about here, because we have a lot of familiarity with blindness issues, but not so much deafness issues. This Skype interaction that you're describing, basically the deaf customer turns on a Skype session with somebody who can sign to them?
We didn't use Skype here. It's more for like a classroom. If you have a teacher that can't get an interpreter on site, she'll put on a headset and connect via Skype to some remote interpreter somewhere. So that remote interpreter will hear her voice or his voice. They'll sign to the student, and they'll sign back and forth as the teacher's talking. And if the student has a question, the interpreter will actually speak to the headset that the teacher's wearing and ask the question from the student. It's a little convoluted, but it's called video remote interpreting, and it works very, very well, but ideal for classroom situations or employee training, not necessarily for customer service.
This means that the interpreter doesn't necessarily have to be in the same classroom. The interpreter can be someplace else.
That's correct. The interpreter can be completely in another state. It doesn't really matter where they are. Because these computers have internet access and cameras, we decided to use all those features. So the basic toolbar we came up with for InterpreType has three buttons on it. And I'm showing you on the screen here. There's a text button, a video button, and a phone button. So the text button is the heart of InterpreType, where our software is written. But we added the video and phone button for those that wanted to use Skype or to use it as a video phone.
These look to be commercial small laptops. Are you actually fussing with the hardware, or are you installing software, or both?
Most recently, we don't have to do any sort of hardware stuff because they're coming, like Ken said, more and more powerful. So they're full of all the RAM that we need to run even the language translation stuff, and battery life's all great. So it's more of just getting rid of a lot of the junk software that comes on these laptops, games and things like that, that we don't want to slow down the computer or take up space. You can still access the internet. You can still load anything on there that you want to that's Windows-based. We don't lock down the computers in that sense. So I do wipe it pretty clean and then load our software on and tinker around with some of the different settings to make it run more efficiently. So it'll stay on instead of, you know, going to sleep or things like that to cause confusion to the user. So I just try to make it as user-friendly as possible.
What I think is neat, you know, when I started using assistive technology years ago in graduate school, all this stuff was all custom hardware. You know, if you had to do something in your PC, there was a special board to do your speech synthesis or a video card. And like you said, there's all these different wires and stuff. You talk about customization. I mean, these days it's kind of neat that you can use, you know, relatively inexpensive off-the-shelf components and with a little modification put them together in very interesting ways to do, you know, some new tasks. So that's really great the way you've used some of this stuff that way without having to develop, you know, special equipment and all.
People at shows have said that once they see what InterpreType can do, they've called it the Swiss Army knife of assistive technology. I don't want to invent the wheel all over again. I mean, Dragon's good at what they do. JAWS is good. The Braille displays are great. I don't need to invent all this stuff, but let's put it all in one package so that people can take their choice and use what they need.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is using InterpreType as a communication tool for people who are not only deaf, but also blind.
So this product originally started out as a product for the deaf. How did it come to be developed as a product for the deaf-blind community?
People wanted more and more features, and they started asking about deaf-blind. Well, since we're working on this computer platform anyways, Freedom Scientific got a hold of us. Brad Davies, as a matter of fact, down in Florida, came over and tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, do you think you can come up with a deaf-blind product, you know, so that an able-bodied person can communicate with a deaf-blind person without using a tactile interpreter? And I said, more than likely, their product JAWS runs on Windows products, and their JAWS will power these refreshable Braille displays. So we worked together in conjunction with Freedom Scientific to create a porthole for InterpreType software to communicate with JAWS and thereby output to this Braille display. So the same way I would type to a deaf person, I can put a refreshable Braille display connected to one of the computers, and as we type, it comes out in Braille. And then the blind or deafblind user has the option to type back either in Braille on the Braille display or to use the QWERTY keyboard and type back with a regular keyboard. So now you can communicate with a deafblind without using a tactile interpreter.
Who are the primary customers for the deafblind version of InterpreType?
We have interest from lending libraries or, you know, help centers, employment one-stop centers, things like that are more interested in something like this where they need to communicate with a deafblind. And the deafblind would have to know Braille in order to use it.
What are some of the other special applications for this device?
There's a few other things around the room I can show you. Right behind you is our hospital cart, which we designed and developed for use for InterpreType in hospitals. It looks like an IV cart with a pitched roof on both sides that InterpreType can sit on each side. So you can actually wheel this down the hall and right in front of a patient. It goes up or down, either sitting height or standing height. And you can triage someone or type right on the spot with InterpreType back and forth very, very quickly and get the information you need, as opposed to telling someone, oh, let me go get an interpreter. Meantime, all I want to do is tell you that their brother's in the car and is in trouble or something like that when there's no need to go get an interpreter at that point. So that's our hospital cart. It's actually been sold to the TSA. They use it in the passenger lanes to communicate with deaf customers as they're boarding planes. So they want to go through security and they have trouble, they can wheel it over to whatever lane they had the issue in and use InterpreType that way. They have it at the Rochester Airport.
So you're actually running a fully featured version of JAWS on these systems, or something pared down just to be able to do the communications that you're interested in?
It's a full-featured JAWS. And since it comes with a couple licenses, we'll put them on both computers so that the deaf-blind can actually connect the Braille display to either one and see which screen is doing which. And it's ideal for probably an employment situation where a deaf-blind person is employed and anyone that wants to walk by their desk and communicate with them can. Or in a home situation where a family member wants to communicate with them, or if an appliance repairman comes over to the house, they can actually chat with the deaf-blind person and talk to them and do things. It is portable because they are laptops, but it's a little more cumbersome than perhaps an iPhone attached to a Braille display or something like that. So it's more for a more stationary use for someone who wants to get work done or use it at home.
You've got a Focus 40 Blue paired with your laptop here. Freedom Scientific also makes the Focus 14, which is much smaller, that sometimes people use with their smartphones. Do you have plans to make a smartphone version of this?
Not at this time. We haven't seen enough interest in this product itself. So to move over to a mobile platform, there are other people in that space already that have a little more experience, and that's not the heart of what our company does.
These things being wireless, right now we've got the two units practically touching each other, but as long as they're both in the same wireless network, the two people don't have to be in the same room even.
Correct. They're Bluetooth, so they can go about 30 feet apart. Walls don't make a difference, but it's not necessarily a Wi-Fi environment. It's a Bluetooth environment. Although we do have another piece of the software that is Wi-Fi, so you can get off of Bluetooth and connect to a router. And if you do so, you can connect up to 120 InterpreTypes in one conversation.
This is a very portable solution. Your netbook is very small, and these Braille displays these days, I'm looking at this Focus 40 display here, it's very light and portable and connected by Bluetooth. There's no extra wires or anything, so you can move this thing anyplace and easy to cart around.
That's correct. Here, let me show you this bag real quick. The InterpreType bag has Basically, it's like the size of a lunchbox with three zippered slots in the top. Both computers fit in two of the slots, and all the cables go in another slot. And then there's these little hooks on the back, which are made for the Focus 40 to clip to and hang on the outside of the bag. So actually, the whole thing can be carried around in about the size of a lunchbox size bag. So it is very portable, like you said. But the setup time might be a little cumbersome, say if you're trying to make your way through an airport or something where you need a little quicker conversation. But if you get to your desk and you set it up, by all means, you're good to go. So it is very portable. Take it to work, take it home. It's very easy to move around that way.
And also, these can all be run off batteries. They don't have to be plugged in all the time if you just charge them up. What is the battery life on this kind of setup?
It's getting better all the time, but for the most part, these run about 8 hours, Josh, would you say?
The newest ones are 8 hours.
8 hours. The newest ones are 8 hours. And what about the Focus 40?
The Focus 40, as far as when I was getting information from Ron at one of the conferences we were at, he said the in between standby mode and use mode, it'll run around 10 hours on one charge.
So this whole program seems pretty easy to use. It sounds like you just click on the application, get it running, and then decide whether you want to do a text, Skype, or video interaction, and just start typing away. Is it that simple?
That's correct. It's actually almost more simple than that. Most of the people just want to use it in text. And for the user, say the customer that comes up to the counter, or the user that comes by the deaf or deafblind person's desk, there's a laptop there, and it's very simple. There is a spot for them to type their name, hit log on, and the only thing you can do from there is type and read back and forth. Now, we've added a lot of extra features to make things easier for people. We've added something called our macro key toolbar. And you can turn this toolbar on and off if you want to. What it is a set of 9 questions loaded in the function keys that you can preload. So, for instance, I have my deafblind macro key toolbar up here, and it says, hey, how are you? F3 says you can read my responses in Braille. F4 says, press the space bar, then type your message. And there's all sorts of instructions there so that I could just send up some of these messages to the other person and give them directions that way, the same as I can ask a set of questions to a customer at a counter. But we're not limited to just 9 questions. Below all these questions are these little radio buttons where you can switch your group of questions to different group of questions. Yeah. And you can have as many groups of 9 questions as you want. So, for instance, we sold a bunch of these systems to the New York Unified Court System. They wanted them for jury intake and family court and criminal court, all wherever they receive customers. They came up with a whole bunch of different macros and the Spanish translation for all those macros, and we preloaded those on all the computers before we shipped them across the state, so that when they loaded them, launched them to all the courthouses across the state, every one of them had the exact same macros, the exact same questions, asked the way the people in Albany wanted them asked, and so we were able to preload it that way. So it's pretty handy. The user has the flexibility to adjust those macro questions, and then they don't even have to do any typing. So my staff downstairs, they can just ask their questions, F2, F3, F4, they don't have to type hardly anything, and the user reads the responses. And you can print and save the conversation if you want to, either on paper or copy it, put it in a Word file, email it to someone, whatever you like to do.
That's pretty spectacular. So you said that you often preload some of the questions for people, but I think you also said that the user can customize their own questions and answers?
Yes, the computers come blank with no macro files in them. However, a large customer like the state, when they saw that feature, said, listen, we don't want to load them in every place they go. Can we load them before they're shipped? I said, by all means, let's work together on you getting me the macros and we'll get them all made. Because it's just a file I just loaded in one directory and they're all there. And they automatically show up. It's very easy. So you want to play with it a little bit now so you can see what
sure.
It does?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That good? I think you're already logged in.
So it says guest has signed on.
That's you.
Yes.
That's me.
Now, you know where the toggle is?
I'm reading the Braille display, yeah. By the way.
You know how to toggle up and down on that?
No, I've never used one of these.
Okay, so there's a paddle right here on the front.
Oh, okay.
Toggle down.
Like this?
It should say Ken has signed on. The next
Ken has signed on, yes.
Toggle down one more time.
It's blank?
And it's blank. So you know you've reached the end of the conversation.
Okay.
Okay, so if I type something again, press Enter.
Hello, Peter, and it's even in contracted Braille.
So all you need to do is press the space bar. That will put your cursor back down to the typing area.
This is a test. Now what do I have to do to enter it to you?
Press the Enter key.
And then you should see it on your screen?
What popped up my screen is guest is talking because Peter's logged in as guest, as his name. And then the next line down says this is a test.
You have the Braille on the Focus 40 display here, but you also have a normal QWERTY keyboard on the netbook that'll enable you to type if you're more comfortable with a QWERTY keyboard.
That's correct. So I'll press F4 and press Enter.
You can read my response in Braille, it says on the display here.
So I could easily switch to another set of macros and ask you questions. For instance, here's one you might recognize some of the questions.
How many bags will you be checking today? Oh, that's pretty cool. That makes it very easy so people don't have to spend the time typing back and forth.
This one took up two lines, so you may have to scroll up to see it.
Are you carrying any hazardous substances or weapons? That wasn't made for the auto repair shop, I take it.
Hopefully not for the schools either.
So what I sent you were the macros for my airport.
Great.
So when I do an airport demo, you can ask all those questions in a row without typing anything. So now I'll show you one more really fun feature that we've added. Since these are Windows computers, and you can add all sorts of Windows features, we have also made this friendly to Dragon Naturally Speaking. So this one's trained to my voice, and I'm going to put on a headset, and I'm going to turn on Dragon and my microphone. Now everything I say, you will be able to read in Braille.
And it says on the Braille display, now everything I say, you will be able to read in Braille.
So I used to use Dragon Naturally Speaking, and it has commands for all of the control functions, if you will. So go to a new line, enter this text, whatever. Do you have to do that? You just stopped talking and it seemed to go.
Since we made this friendly for InterpreType, I'm going to go into my settings real quick because I didn't do when I first put the headset on. And I'm going to go to our feature called Enable Lecture Automation. And what this does, it allows me to walk away from this computer like a teacher walking around a classroom. And every time I pause for a half a second, it will send what I said into text and out to the other device. So let me do that real quick. And we also have an adjustment, just in case, depending on what speed Braille reader you are. We can set this for expert mode or normal mode. Normal mode, you would have to pan or scroll down each line. Expert mode, it will send the Braille to it as fast as it arrives. So it may leave your fingers before you have a chance to read it, because these lines will show up rapidly as I'm speaking. So I'll just start talking and you'll see how fast it shows up. As I talk, it should all be sent to you and show up in Braille. And the more I talk, the more text will show up.
And it will
continue to do so as long as I'm providing the lecture.
That's pretty cool. That's neat. I like that.
So you call this lecture mode. I am envisioning a professor or a guest speaker or somebody lecturing to a hall, and a deaf person who may or may not be able to make use of the loop hearing system or whatever can just bring in their equipment, provide the headset to the speaker, and be able to follow the lecture.
You catch on very quickly. That's exactly what it's for. In addition, they would be wise to put up an LCD screen so that everyone can see the text, not just the deaf person. In a lecture hall, I would recommend that they do that for everybody.
How does this system differ from other types of real-time transcription?
What's different about this, as opposed to CART or real-time transcription, is that the student can respond, where whether it's a transcriptionist in the room, they can't. So if you have a question, you can just raise your hand, and me as a teacher can ask what's up. You can type on your computer and it will show back up in the lecture on my screen. So now you can ask the question. Even if you're deaf or deaf blind, you can raise your hand. The professor can stop, reread the question that you ask, and then answer it. Where in a transcription setting, it can't be done that way.
The normal window where the text that the other person has typed shows up is in fairly large print. For a low vision user, is there the ability to adjust the size of the font and the color and contrast and stuff?
Yep, I'll show you right here. The font size is completely adjustable. Alt, up arrow, and the font keeps growing as we want.
What's the biggest it can get?
It will go completely off the screen and get too big. Or, if you really want it large, you can actually plug in a projector, like any laptop will run, and put it on a big screen and make the font as large as you want. And you can also set these, since these are regular windows, you can set these to reverse video or any colors you like in the window settings themselves, not in our software. So what you see here, you can see there's only about 6 words on that whole screen, so it gets pretty large, and it's pretty easy to adjust back down again just by tapping the up and down arrows and holding down the Alt key.
Well, that was a great demonstration. I thank you for showing that all to us.
Now for this week's final item, some customer reactions and how you could get more information about InterpreType.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from customers who've used this system so far?
I guess the biggest response we get from mostly deaf customers, which is our largest population, is that once they get InterpreType, they feel as though, as they say, they're in the loop. You know, no one's going to walk by them and go to lunch and not say hello. They can just stop at their desk, type something to them and say, you know, hey, we're going out for pizza. You want to come with us? And next thing you know, they're in the loop and they can communicate with someone. Or they can grab a pair of InterpreType to run up to the supervisor's office and meet him in the conference room without having to schedule an interpreter and everything else and get the meeting done. It's much easier that way. And in classroom situations with students, they want to break off into groups and they have one deaf person in their group. Well, grab InterpreType. Someone can be the stenographer for that person and keep them in the loop and off you go.
This is really cool. And of course, this is a radio show and we love to play audio clips of demos, but nothing's making any noise.
So if people wanted to find out more about this equipment and where to get it, what would they do?
Probably the best way is to go to our website, which is interpretype.com, which is spelled interpretype, which is I-N-T-E-R-P-R-E-T-Y-P-E, interpretype.com. And there is a page on the deafblind solution itself. Or you're welcome to send us an email, and we can send you a PDF or even a HTML file with the information on InterpreType so they could read it with a JAWS reader if they wanted to.
And your email address is?
info@interpretype.com. You can ask for either me or Josh in the email, and we'll be happy to respond, or Bruce, who is our sales rep out of Atlanta, he'll respond as well.
And do you have a phone number?
Our number is 585-272-1155.
And we'll have all of that contact information, if you missed any of it, in our show notes at www.eyesonsuccess.net. Look for the show notes associated with this show. We'll also have links in the show notes to some documentation and flyers about these specific systems, as well as Freedom Scientific. In addition, we'll have a link to a transcript of this show for those who can't hear the audio to this show.
That's it for show number 1507. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about blind parenting of sighted children. We did a show a few months ago with sighted parents of a blind child. And next week, Ron and Denise Miller, who are parenting 2-year-old Russell, will be asking us questions about how we handled that situation, which, same as them, one of the parents is blind, the other parent is sighted, as are the kids. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and on audioboom.com at Eyes on Success or Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success and have a nice day.